listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. All right, so we are going to get rolling now with our games of the week and in the NFL. So this is where we don't tell you who we think is going to win or what the lines are or anything. You want to listen to that? There's other places to go. No. We value your time. Others may value your money, but we value your time. We go into it from a standpoint of, hey, if this is the only game that you get, red zone, baby. Or if you don't get red zone, you can go do a chore and come back and maybe watch a better game later in the afternoon. Or tell your wife and kids you've got to be isolated for a while because you're going to be watching these games.
Or
your husband if you're a female listener. You know, either way.
Yeah, or you're going out of town this weekend.
Yeah.
For a business trip.
That's right. That's right. Or for a business trip.
So that way you're just, you know, you are able to hide out.
And we also give you the details of what's going on in that game. So let's get started, shall we? Germany, how'd you get so lucky?
The Dolphins. Is this game supposed to be any good?
Yeah, exactly. We gave away the best game maybe of the season to a foreign country. Like I said, this is like the Statue of Liberty being gifted to the Americas from France.
Yep.
They build this great, great statue, and then they go, what do we want to do with this? Do we want to keep this for our greedy, selfish selves? And they went, no, let's give it to America. Let's give it to America. And they went, oh, okay, that's a good idea. Okay. They get it? Yeah, they'll get it. Same thing here. We are gifting Germany this incredible football game that they should have known they were giving it to them before the season even kicked off. This is not a surprise Dolphins team or a surprise Chiefs team. They knew that these teams could be very good at this point when they gave this game to Germany at the beginning of the year when April's schedule rolled out. Nevertheless, they're 6-2, number one offense in the NFL in the Dolphins. Kansas City, if you want to go down the road of, you know, Patrick Mahomes had the flu in that game against Denver, I'm not telling you you're wrong, but I'm telling you something isn't quite right with Kansas City. I'm not that far off on this. Something's just not quite clicking. But this is still going to be a fantastic game. Here's my thing. I know Philip might disagree with me on this. I have always seen Kansas City play up to these games. I've always seen Patrick Mahomes ready for this moment. I've always seen Patrick Mahomes, no matter what he's got around him, playing into these big games. They may not win, but they're right there. But the Dolphins, I've seen them fall apart in Buffalo. I've seen them fall apart against Philadelphia. You want to beat up on New England? You want to destroy Denver by 50 points? You want to beat the Chargers or you want to beat Carolina? Fine. But I feel like the Dolphins, when they get a game like this, they don't play to what I think they should play to. I hope that changes. I hope we get a fantastic game, what we deserve and that Germany deserves, I guess, because I want to see it. 6-2, 6-2. I want this to be a showdown.
No, and this game very well could decide who gets the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
At the end of the season. This is, I mean, like I said earlier in the week, if Germany doesn't like him, we go to war.
Exactly.
It won't be the first time.
Yeah.
We riot.
So enjoy, people of Frankfurt.
Yes.
Have a fun time with the best game of the weekend.
And if you're fortunate enough to be, you know, you marked it on your calendar, like, I'm going to go watch an NFL game in Europe, and this is the one you chose? I'm so jealous, man. This seems like
it's unbelievable.
Like you said earlier from the get-go, the pictures and videos coming out of this place are ridiculous.
It's great. It's great. All right, let's get to the games that are in the United States, because while Germany is feasting on Dolphins Chiefs, some of you are getting Vikings Falcons. All right, huh?
How about that? That's later in the day.
Well, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Vikings and Falcons are 4-4 on the season. And both are starting quarterbacks that they did not have starting at the beginning of the season. For the Vikings, it's Jaren Hall. He is going to be the rookie that will start in place of the injured Kirk Cousins. The Falcons are going with Taylor Heinicke because Desmond Ridder turns the ball over almost every time he has it. So they made a coaching change in Atlanta. Taylor Heinicke, who did lead the Falcons on 4 scoring drives, albeit most of them field goals, against Tennessee. A better option to keep a 4-4 record alive in a division where that's leading the division. That's tied with New Orleans for first place. The Vikings aren't dead yet, but I got a feeling without Kirk Cousins, without Justin Jefferson, they're not going to be for long hanging around this National Football League in terms of being competitive in a wild card race. But they could step forward in the right direction with a good performance against the Atlanta Falcons. But other than that, the two quarterbacks are at play.
Yeah.
How about the Browns and the Cardinals? Well, you don't got Josh Dobbs to kick around anymore.
No.
Now you've got Colton Toon. Is that who it is?
I think you're right.
Yeah. But Kyler Murray is ready to pop back in there any moment. That's what I'm feeling. He's starting to get cleared and whatnot, but Clayton Toon is his name,
Clayton Toon.
He's been waiting for this opportunity.
That sounded right.
I've never heard of him.
This is the real quick Spiroditas game.
Oh, it is a Spiroditas game?
You know, if you ever played along with us, we always try to find where in the world or where in the country is Spiroditas.
I hope Spiroditas says, well, the Cardinals are looking to change their tune with a quarterback.
Ah.
Huh? Or is that a little too cheesy? Not too cheesy for Spiroditas. I expect nothing less.
You have to. And does he go, you know, we're on our watch, son?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
And by the way, what is the status of Watson?
What is the status? That's a good point. That's a really good question, isn't it? Where is Watson in this game? Is he still I'm looking it up right now. It looks like he's questionable for the game.
God.
He was limited in practice yesterday.
No, he ain't playing.
He ain't going to play. He's done. goodness.
Yeah. I at first remember when this first started going down, I brought it up and I said, it kind of reminds me of the Kevin Durant injury, but Kevin Durant was actually injured.
That's right. And no kidding. As for Kyler Murray, he was removed from the injury report because he's back on the reserve pup list.
Ooh.
So, all right. So
the two of them are squaring off in the parking lot. Little tag football in the, you know, in the grassy areas outside of Arizona.
My thought
Cleveland.
That he would pop into this game is not going to happen. So there you go. How about this game coming up at Lambeau Field? It's the Packers and the Rams. We might actually see Brett Rippon start at quarterback for the Rams because Matt Stafford has got a sprained thumb.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder how many people on the Packers wish that Jordan Love had a sprained thumb or something or a cold or anything because he is not good. The Packers are terrible in the first half.
Does Jordan, does he need to have a breakout game to kind of erase everything? What if this is the game where he just shows up and is like, okay.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
But
the Packers are 2-5. They've lost 4 in a row. And here's where it gets icky. In the 4 losses that they've had, last 4 losses, they've managed 9 points in the first half of all 4 games. They've not scored a first half touchdown in their last 4 games. Now, they are the youngest team in the NFL. You know the second youngest team in the NFL is? The Rams. So, break out the diapers and the baby formula. Rams and Packers, your youth movement of the NFL for week number 9.
So, this game sponsored by Huggies?
That's right. Exactly. Young kids playing in the National Football League.
I'm
I think the average age on both
now.
Roster is 25. Which, by the way, since Matt Stafford is like 34, that means they've got a lot of 21-year-old players on that team.
Exactly.
Puka Nacua, though, is great. I like him. I hope Brett Rippon can get him the ball.
He should.
He's an up-and-comer.
Just take a page out of Will Levis and realize,
God,
that guy's a wide receiver. I should throw the ball to him.
How about Patriots and Commanders? Wouldn't this have been a nice game to send to Germany? Here you go. Oh, the Patriots are already going.
Well, is that too aggressive?
Yeah, that might be too aggressive. Yeah,
Patriots
are already going. They're playing the Colts there next week. So Germany will get a real feel for what we get over here when the good games go overseas. Patriots and Commanders, I got nothing, except Kendrick Bourne is out for New England. He's our leading wide receiver, suffered an ACL injury against the Dolphins. When you felt good about them after beating Buffalo, they came right back to earth losing to the Dolphins. They're 2-6. They're not good. The Commanders are 3-5, and I guess they'll never be able to rush the quarterback since Montez Sweat and Chase Young are now in other locations.
I'm half expecting Josh McDaniels to be in the owner's suite.
I'm thinking that, too.
Inking,
that's funny that you mentioned
inking
that.
Inking a quarterback coach deal.
Did not Rob Gronkowski hint at this
did he
week?
Not?
I think he did when he thought that. Yeah, well, don't they all come back?
They all come back.
They all go back to Papa Bill.
Yes.
Don't they all do that, running back home?
I mean, maybe he doesn't sign right away. Maybe he takes a week off.
Daddy, the real world is tough. Stay right here. Don't worry. I got you.
I'll keep you under my wing. I'll keep you sheltered from those evil doers out there.
House has got heat. It's got food. You're all right.
Yeah,
it'll
I mean, was didn't he serve, like, in a way, wasn't he under Bill O'Brien at a point?
Yeah.
Before Bill O'Brien left, and then he assumed Bill O'Brien's role, so, I mean.
They all go running back to Papa
make
Bill.
It the 2004 Patriots again.
All right, how about the Bills and the Bears and the Saints? Good Lord. Good Lord, these games stink. Sorry. All right. It looks like Tyson Bagent is getting another start for Justin Fields.
Yeah, he is.
Good story. They're 2-6. And the Saints, by the way, the Saints are 4-4, and they're in the running for the division because the Atlanta Falcons are 4-4, and they're tied for the division lead. So it's a very important game for the Saints.
It is, because they have to win it because the Bucs are right on their heels at 3-4.
Right. Oh, goodness. The chase for the NFC South just can't get hotter.
They are who we thought they were, Tony.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. Goldilocks and the three teams. Saints, all right, they got Derek Carr, whoopee-doo, but the arm wrestling champion is the father of the Bears quarterback, and that's something. Plus, he'll be in New Orleans. So there you go. We'll get the rest of the schedule coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony
D. All right, continuing our look at the National Football League schedule. Again, this is week number 9, so we are rolling through. We just gave you the thrilling battles between the Rams and Packers, Commanders and Patriots, Bears and Saints. Like, who am I, Job, that I deserve this kind of punishment on a Sunday afternoon? That I'm getting these absolute dog games while Germany gets to drink beer and celebrate Dolphins Chiefs? I'm stuck with Cardinals Browns? What am I doing here? All right, but this next afternoon game might actually be pretty good. This is the one I'm kind of hoping I'm getting since the Tennessee Titans played last night. That's the Seahawks and the Ravens. The Seahawks are sneaky good. Don't look now, Ron, but the Seattle Seahawks are leading the NFC West. A division that we thought the San Francisco 49ers would be running away with by now. Little do we know that a 3-game losing skid would hit the Niners at the right time for the Seahawks to take advantage. Seattle's pretty good, but the Ravens are very good. They're 6-2. When Lamar Jackson's on, he's on. They got a defense that's turning it up a bit. This is a good one. Of all the dog games I mentioned before, this one's the better one. So I hope most of America gets to see this bad boy. Seattle and Baltimore.
I think this game is fantastic.
It is really good. Really good. All right, how about Buccaneers and Texans? All right, I got a question.
Now you took a step back.
All right,
I thought we were going forward with good games.
I'm going to ask this question. And I know you're a Chargers fan, but you live in Houston. Are the Texans okay? Are they good? Like, not good, like good, good. I mean, like, are they competitive? Are they good? I feel like they are, and then I watch them and I go, oh, okay, we just took a step backwards.
There was a local sports reporter, and he put it this way, that, you know, that C.J. Stroud came out and surprised a lot of people.
Sure,
but
did.
Now he's coming back down to earth.
Which is expected, fine.
And that this version of the Texans is what we probably should have had all along.
Man, I just wish the Steelers had met that Houston Texans team because they'd be 6-2 right now.
Yeah, they would.
They'd just beaten a Houston team with a rookie quarterback. But they didn't. The Buccaneers are 3-4, and I can ask the same exact thing to Buccaneers fans in Tampa. Is this team all right? Is it good? Is it okay? Like, what is this? Because they didn't look that great. You know, it's funny. They didn't look great against Buffalo, but they were a Hail Mary turnaround catch away from walking off that with a win. But yet I don't feel that they're good. That's this league, man. It's weird like that. I didn't think the Buffalo Bills put them away enough. But nevertheless, these are 2-3-4 teams that do want to prove to you that they're decent. Now, the Texans are not really going to be in the conversation for winning the AFC South, but if they're 4-4, they've got something to build on in the last half of the season to try to be in the conversation in late December. The Buccaneers are actually trying to win the division because the division is not going to have a team running away with it with 12 wins. If they can get to 4-4, they're putting themselves in a good position to keep up with the Saints and the Falcons, and they're all bundled up with the Carolina Panthers, the lousy team in. So this is a game that may not be popping on your radar, but this is important for both of these teams. I think if you're D'Amico Ryans, this is a game to build on for Houston. If they can win this game at home against a team with a similar record, still similar kind of situation. We got some good players here, but we don't have some good players over here. But if we can be like, hey, man, you know what? Don't sleep on us late. You know, like, it may take a miracle, but we're not done with this by Thanksgiving. That's a good step. That's a building block. It's a good building block.
Well, I think I honestly think they've overachieved already.
I think so, too. I'm with you.
So.
How about the Panthers and the Colts? The Colts had Frank Reich, remember, last year? And then they fired Frank Reich 9 games into the season. Jim Irsay said, that's enough. Done. Jeff Saturday came in. Remember that little experiment, how fun that was?
Yeah.
You know, because Jeff Saturday is on my TV every morning.
I forgot
down
about
film.
That.
Remember
I
that?
Did forget about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That worked well for everybody, I think. Jeff Saturday is like, okay, yeah, well, I guess I won't be doing this much longer. But Frank Reich landed in Carolina, where he is guiding Bryce Young and the Panthers. They are 1-6. They're coming off a win against Houston. They are not a good football team. They did not trade Brian Burns at the trade deadline like people thought that they were going to. They did not. Indianapolis has got Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Jonathan Taylor's running the ball. But they're 3-5. So, yeah, not really sure this one's popping. But nevertheless, it's a late afternoon game in Charlotte. How about the Giants and the Raiders? Boy, these are the gifts that keep on giving, don't they? It looks like Daniel Jones is coming back to the Giants. He's missed the last 2 games with a neck injury. The Raiders have a brand new coach in Antonio Pierce, who played linebacker at one point for the Giants. If the Raiders are going to have a feel-good, let's be excited that we've got a new coach, this is the game to do it. Home against a very vulnerable football team. If they don't, then the problems run deeper than McDaniels. Even Jeff Saturday won his first game when they got it when he came aboard. Win one for Antonio Pierce. That would be the way I would phrase it if I was in Las Vegas. But nevertheless, if you are unfortunate enough to get the Colts Panthers or the Giants Raiders, then you unfortunately are not going to get Giants Raiders. I mean, I'm sorry, Cowboys-Eagles, my bad. Cowboys-Eagles, which is the game of one of the games of the weekend.
Yeah.
A major, major game.
And it is a game that you throw out the record book.
Absolutely. It's a divisional game. This is the Cowboys trying to show America that every time we give you something good, we are not going to reverse it and give you something bad. That's Dallas's MO. They win these games, and then they lose a game where you go, wow, I didn't see that one coming. For example, after beating the Jets 30-10 and beating the Giants to open up the season 40-0, they laid an egg in Arizona and lost to the Cardinals. But after beating the Patriots 38-3, it was going to be a Sunday night showdown for the ages against San Francisco, in which they predominantly lost by 32 points. Following that, they won against the Chargers, they won against the Rams, and now they got the Eagles. It would be just like Dallas to get blown out of this thing 38-3. But the Eagles, where we thought, ooh, after their loss to the Jets, yikes, the Eagles are a different story. The Eagles did lose to the Jets, but they beat the crap out of Miami, and they beat Washington in a divisional game that's tough because playing divisional opponents are tough. They, right now, own the best record in the National Football League. 7-1. Top 10 team on offense, putting up 28 points per game. They're leaking a little on defense, but they can shore that up. You're right. This is a divisional game in that really awesome division where everybody hates each other. So settle in and watch that late afternoon.
And really none more than these two teams.
Right.
Yeah, they really hate each other.
They really hate each other. Yeah, seriously, I love that division. Every team is like a rival to the other, deep rival to the other team.
The only disappointing thing is that if the Eagles lose and the Cowboys win, then it just means that they gain a game. But they're they're still in second.
Oh,
but
look
the
out,
Eagles
America.
Can separate themselves.
Absolutely. Look out, America, because if you like the talking head shows in the morning, if Dallas wins this game, you won't be able to escape daily conversations on how good the Cowboys are.
For a week.
A whole week of Super Bowl.
In fact, you tune into any show Monday morning, one of those talking head shows Monday morning, you may not even know that there were other games that happened that weekend.
Exactly.
And I think that might be either way. Because if the Eagles lose, and say the Eagles lose, or Eagles win, and Eagles win very convincingly, then we're back to that same rhetoric as before that, the Cowboys, look how terrible they are.
If the Eagles win by a lot, you might see the talking head conversation be at the bottom when they have the little question.
Yep.
Should Dak Prescott quit football? Like, you might see those conversations. Should Dak Prescott become a rocket scientist.
Should he turn to real estate?
Exactly. Should he become a real estate agent in the greater Dallas area rather than do this? Yeah, exactly. Bills and Bengals. That's your Sunday night game. And we all know, remember last time.
Yep.
Bills and Bengals met in Cincinnati. DeMar Hamlin is inactive for this game. So I'm going to backtrack on something I said a while ago. Because I remember when DeMar Hamlin was recovering from this. When you have an NFL team of 53 guys, you just can't keep a space for a guy. It's not like college where you go, you know, this 27-year-old kicker is like so important to us and he's been great for us and he's a student manager and we're going to put him on the team. You got 53 guys. They all need to contribute to the team. When DeMar Hamlin made the team, I said, this is great because it means he really made the team. Like, they're not just giving him a spot because of his circumstance. They're actually going to need him. Like, they're going to use him. He's only been active for one game this season. One. He wanted to play in this game, but he's inactive. And I'm wondering, maybe the Bills actually did do that. Maybe they did just go, we can give him a roster spot. Because they haven't needed him at all this season. At all. And so it really goes against everything we know about NFL teams where it's like, look, there's just, unfortunately, sentimental stories are not part of what we do. We just can't keep everybody. But the Bills have found a way to keep DeMar Hamlin around, even though they don't use him at all. The Bengals are 4-3, and they're red hot. We'll continue next.